The go-kart track at the Utah Motorsports campus in Erta is a winding loop of asphalt almost a mile long. It's surrounded by the rest of the campus, several large warehouses storing race cars, mechanical equipment of various types, and concession counters offering cold drinks. But mostly, asphalt. By 9 o'clock in the morning, all of the students participating in the event have arrived. They're huddled near temporary awnings waiting for their races to begin. The sun is coming out. It's going to be a beautiful day, and the kids are excited. They're here for the annual Green Power Utah race. Each team has one car, which they've modified to make as energy efficient as possible. In their final heat, they'll have 90 minutes to race around the track. The team that makes the most laps in the time frame wins. Go too fast, and they may not have enough power in their batteries to last the whole race. Go too slow, and they won't make enough laps to win in the time allotted. Out in the middle of the track, one awning stands apart. Under it is a table covered in complex-looking equipment. Next to it are three large solar panels. This is the control center for the college-age team, the team that will be demonstrating their solar-powered, wirelessly charging vehicle.
The point of this is green power. Well, right now, our electricity, at least in a place like Utah, isn't really green. It's not coming from renewable resources. But as soon as we can get energy, which is cleaner, which is coming from more renewable resources, then I think stuff like this becomes extremely viable. Even though we're not to that point yet, I think it's still good to look into this technology, because I think we will get to that point. And we would want to be able to use that green electricity if it were to become available.
This is Heidi Daniel. She's one of the freshmen at Utah State University who's working on the car. The team is composed of seven college freshmen and their mentors. The freshmen come from high schools that participated in Gear Up, a federal program that's designed to help students prepare for college. Misael Nava appreciated the support he got from the program.
I guess a lot of it had to do with just preparation and just getting to experience what to expect in college. So Gear Up funded a lot of trips to colleges or for college fairs throughout the school year and getting to talk to representatives. I guess that really helped a lot in making decisions later on.
These students made it, and this is their last year with Gear Up. Once they finish their freshman year, they're likely to complete the next 3 years of college and graduate. In front of the awning is a long, narrow pad laid on the track. This is where the magic happens. Inside the pad are charging coils that emit an electromagnetic field. When the car drives over the pad, energy is transferred to a similar coil in the car. There's a period in the morning of nervous busyness.
Real quick check, do we need anything during the driver change?
Each team has to have their car weighed and inspected to ensure that it meets the safety requirements. There's also a 30-minute qualifying round before the final race. Members of the college team spend this time making last-minute adjustments to their equipment. Whitney Despain spends this time working on the app that tracks the sensors on the car. It's all a little harrowing, but it works out in the end.
Some of the guys stayed up till 5 in the morning that morning. They stayed up all night just trying to get this working. So that actually worked was really cool. On my part, it was a little frustrating because I wasn't actually able to test it until, you know, they got that charging part working, and they didn't get that charging part working until literally the day of. And so I was like at the racetrack, like trying to make updates.
Finally, the moment arrives.
On your mark. Get set. Race.
The college students can't place in the race. Their car is technically disqualified because of its charging system. But that doesn't stop the team from feeling competitive.
Who brought the spike strip thing?
That's a joke, of course, made by Abhilash Kamaneni, Abhi for short, a graduate student at Utah State University who works with the Sustainable Electrified Transportation Center, or SELECT. Once the race begins, the team monitors their speed and charge using sensors mounted on the car and an online app that tracks their progress. The team, including John Mirmigas, is excited to track their progress.
I wish the track was shorter. I want to see him go over the pad like a million more times. Could you just cut through right here?
Whitney explains what their data shows about the charging system.
So the pad only gives about enough charge to not have the charge go down. So when you're looking at the data, you know, it would be going down. And then when it was going over the pad, it'd just be straight for a little bit. And then it'd go down and straight and down. To have it going continuously, really, we would just have to have more pad, like all around the track.
As the race progresses, all of the cars begin to slow, though some more quickly than others. Eventually, cars begin to stop, and the teams push them off the track. The wireless charging car hangs in there for most of the race, but eventually, it dies too. After the race is finished, the college team gives a short demonstration of how their car works. Middle school and high school students crowd around them to see the car.
You're going to have to get the mic.
Okay, microphone time.
Hey, can everyone hear? Clear in the back? Is there anyone that can hear?
Ryan Bohm is the senior laboratory engineer at Select. He's been guiding the team since they started the project.
All right, hello everyone. My name is Ryan, and I'm with Utah State University in the Power Electronics Laboratory. We are demonstrating wireless charging of electric vehicles.
Together, the team gives an explanation of the car in the pad. They flip the car over to show the kids the wire coil underneath. After the demonstration, Ryan asks for questions, and this is when the demonstration gets really interesting. The kids put the screws to the team, asking questions about the function, safety, and commercial viability of the new technology.
Is it alternating current or direct current?
Wouldn't it make sense just to go from solar panel to car instead of transmitting it through different sources and then losing power along that way?
You're constantly having those magnetic waves pumped into people and devices. Won't that end up affecting the internal workings of the car, potentially like a phone or even people?
The kids ask technical and practical questions about the new technology, one right after the other.
So let's say you actually do get this on a highway, and you don't want cars like ruining the pad. Could you put something over it and still have the like magnetic field come up?
Yes.
I have to say, another really excellent question.
Would it be interchangeable, for example, like if you had two Teslas drive over the same pad, would they both pick up the same energy? And if another car company started making an electric car, would it all be interchangeable?
Ryan seems genuinely surprised and delighted.
You guys all need to come work for us at Utah State.
The technology is new, and so of course there are a lot of things that need to be worked out before it can be applied for mainstream transportation. However, the team is hopeful about its potential. John and his teammate Taylor Olpin have given a lot of thought to where they are with the technology now and where they're going.
I think the purpose of the car is a proof of concept to kind of show, I guess, all the people at the event and whoever sees the race, I guess, that inductive charging, which is the whole wireless charging for the car, is practical and it's cool. And yeah, wireless charging for vehicles is in its infancy, so.
The eventual hope is that we could build this kind of infrastructure into roads, like highways or whatever, so that as you're driving your electric cars around, you don't need to stop to recharge your car. I could see it being done as part of just like an annual overhaul of the road systems and, you know, maintenance, if we can actually prove that it works. Then I think that people will really start to take a look at this.
As for the other teams, the teams made of middle school and high school students, well, they're just having a really fun day. The team from the Edith Bowen Laboratory School are only too happy to tell me about their race strategy and their experience.
It was good. Painful, too.
I feel like my arms are going to fall off.
It was so cool. It was so right fun here. Cheering for them and like seeing like they passed all the dying cars. It was so cool.
Gunnison Valley Middle School is also well represented.
It was awesome. I'm actually the first driver.
It has been a great day at the racetrack. Kids and young adults working together to use science to solve tough problems. Chase Miller, one of the Gear Up freshmen, summarized the spirit of the event beautifully.
Even if it seems like challenging or like scary at first, just take the first step and just get involved, and you might find out you love it. Even if it's hard, like you will overcome the challenges just because you like it that much. Just do what you're passionate about.
Don't break the car.
Don't break the car. I think that one goes without saying.
For Utah Public Radio, I'm Ashley Rohde.
Anybody besides our car tries to pass over our thing, take them out.